Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, nahmaduhu wa nasalli ala rasulihi al-kareem. Amma ba'd. Alhamdulillah, tonight is the 19th of July in the year 2020. Alhamdulillah, we moved on to the fourth night that we're going through the life of our dear and exalted mother, Sayyida Maymuna radiyallahu anha. And I've reached the section where I'm now taking a glimpse into the sacred chamber of Sayyida Maymuna radiyallahu anha. So in another report, in Sahih Muslim number 2185, Mishkat number 4490, our beloved mother Sayyida Maymuna herself relates radiyallahu anha, one morning Rasulullah was quiet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was concerned. He thereupon said, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam promised to meet me last night, but did not come to me. By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has never broken his promise to me ever before. Then suddenly, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remembered a puppy that had been under his tent, i.e. cot or bunk. Thus he gave instructions and it was taken away. He then took some water in his hand, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and sprinkled it where the puppy had been. In the evening, Jibreel arrived, alayhi salatu wa sallam. Thus, he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said with concern, you promised to meet me yesterday. Jibreel responded, alayhi salatu wa sallam, of course. However, we do not enter a house that has within it a dog or a picture. And then the report continues that the Prophet ﷺ gave orders to eradicate all the stray and harmful dogs. So let's look at this. So where is it recorded? Sahih Muslim. Whose chamber is it? Sayyida Maymuna. So note, this chamber has been selected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you can picture the scene. Rasulullah gets so agitated, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he says, Jibreel promised to meet me last night. He didn't come. He goes, he's never broken his promise. Now, why did that agitate the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What's our belief with regards to angels? They're ma'asoon. They have to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if he says, I'm going to meet you tonight, and he doesn't turn up, something's gone wrong. And then look what happened. Allah ta'ala inspired his beloved. There was a puppy. A small puppy had entered the chamber. It was hidden under the, you know, the bedding. So he gave instructions, it was taken away. Now look how interesting, the Prophet didn't touch the puppy. He gave instructions. He goes, take this puppy out. When the puppy was taken out, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took some water, sprinkled it where the puppy was. The same evening, who arrived? Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. And the Prophet ﷺ said, you promised me, why didn't you attend? He goes, yes, but we cannot enter a house that has within it a dog or a picture. Let me ask you a question. Was there an exception to the greatest household of all? Think about that. The greatest chamber of all is Rasulullah's. Even in that holy, great, sacred chamber, Jibreel was... imagine you get this impression, he was outside and he couldn't enter. Right? So he left. The Holy Prophet then remembered the next day, it's the poopy. He took it out. But even then he asked, you promised me. And he goes, we can't enter. Not only where there's a dog, but there's a picture. Think about the disaster in our house. Right? When there's a picture, we cannot enter. And then the report says he gave orders to eradicate all these harmful dogs. You know, the wild dogs, give orders to kill, eradicate them because of the harm they're causing. So this is the first report in Sahih Muslim. A second, in Abu Dawood number 4185, Tirmidhi number 2806, Ahmad in his Musnad number 10197, Mishkat number 4501, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he relates that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam said, I came to you last night. Nothing prevented me from entering, but there was at the door pictures on a curtain made out from a decorated cloth. there was a dog too in the dwelling. Those give instructions for the removal of the head from the picture at the door of the dwelling, so it looks like a stump of a tree. Similarly, give instructions that the curtain be cut off and made into two pillows, that they may be cast down and trampled underfoot. In addition, give instructions for the dog to be shown out. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did as instructed. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is, so now question, was this the same incident? So you could say it was. The previous narration doesn't mention the image outside, but it could have been another incident. So in this report, two things. There was a picture outside, a curtain, you know, one for a better word, with pictures on it. Jibril goes, I don't enter. I can't enter a dwelling like this. So what did he say? Remove the head of the picture. In other words, you could take the stump off so that you don't see anything lifelike about it. Then use it to trample over, you know, like carpets. You can walk over it, no problem. And take the dog out. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did as instructed. So now, these are reports. So what does shaitan do? Shaitan will beautify the haram. He wants access to your homes. So what do foolish Muslims do? They bring dogs in. He goes, it's a guard dog. And then he goes, so what's he doing in the house then? Who's he guarding? Guard dogs outside, no problem. Keep them outside, let them bark. Look after them, respect them. That's their duty. But don't bring him into the house. The angels don't enter the dwelling. So now, this doesn't mean that you can't die. What do I mean by that? Some people think, oh, if I get a dog in my house, angel of death can't come in. The angels referred to here are the angels of mercy. So there's no blessings. The angels of punishment definitely come. They're not bothered where you are. They can put pictures around your crosses, do what you want. Angel of death will just go take you out straight. It's talking about the angels of mercy. The angel of death is either an angel of mercy or an angel of punishment. So don't get confused. For the believers, he's an angel of mercy. For the unbelievers, he's an angel of punishment. Secondly, there's other narrations. Our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever keeps a dog with him without any reason, he loses a qirat every day. So the Sahaba asked, what's a qirat to Abu Huraira? Abu Huraira says, Man Uhud of deeds. Class, every day you lose it. You haven't got a hole in your pocket, you got a hole in your deeds. Think about that. Not only is there no mercy in your house, you're losing a mountain of good deeds every day. For what? Pedigree chum, right? Think about that. That's number two. Right? Number three, does that mean we keep away from dogs like the plague? No. We don't keep away from dogs like the plague. You can keep dogs as pets. They are an immense blessing for a multitude of tasks, such as guarding, hunting, shepherding, aiding the blind, tracking, etc., etc. No problem at all. Right? You get the dogs in the airport sniffing out drugs. Fantastic. No problem at all. You got the shepherd with the dog. Fantastic. No problem at all. You got the guard dog outside. Alhamdulillah. Who was the first to have a guard dog? Adam. Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Where's the hadith? In Qurtubi, in his tafsir, shaitan, he provoked the animals against Adam. He goes, he's your enemy. And there was a dog there. So Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam told Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, when the dog comes towards you, tap you on his head. So the dog came growling towards Adam. And Adam alayhi salatu wasalam just tapped it. And then the dog turned around. Right? Meaning, I'm with you now, guarding you against shaitan. So the first guard dog was Adam's, alayhi salatu wasalam. It wasn't Alsatian because he was 30 foot tall. What the dog was, probably a dinosaur in it, I don't know what it was, right? But that was his dog. But he used it as a guard, alayhi salatu wasalam. So there's no harm in that. So don't go around saying Islam looks down on dogs. They are filthy animals and they mix in truth with falsehood. Allah Ta'ala has created them for a reason. If you use it for that reason, you probably get rewarded. The Quran mentions hunting animals. One of them is a dog. In Surah Ma'idah, if you send a dog out, you can catch things. You say Bismillah and he goes out, that animal's halal for you. Allah Ta'ala mentions a dog that was with the seven saints in the cave. Some say seven, the dog was the eighth. Some say six, the dog was the seventh. In Imam Razi, in his Tafsir Kabir, that dog enters paradise. It becomes a human being, it enters paradise. Why? Because it kept the company of saints. The lesson there is even a dog is honored when it keeps the company of saints. So what about people who like us, the children of Adam? Isn't that showing you how important it is to keep the company of good people? A dog becomes a human being, enters paradise. Why do you think Allah has mentioned it in the Quran? So dogs have a noble purpose. But we don't let them enter the house. We don't let them eat our food. The Prophet goes, get rid of that food. And they found out that they got germs that will kill you. Go to the vet and they'll tell you about this. They sleep with their dogs. What the heck are they doing? Probably the dog's thinking, what am I doing in this bed? Astaghfirullah. Right? You think about how lost they are. The Prophet said in Tabarani, one of the signs of the hour is that the people will treat their dogs like with more love and affection than their children. Hasn't that come true? Right? You know, these hadiths, just imagine the Sahaba hearing this. If the Prophet didn't say that, I couldn't believe that. We just go, SubhanAllah, did he say that? So, yeah, he did say that. You see a person taking a dog for a walk. You ask that same person, John, have you got any kids? Yeah, I got two sons. I don't speak to them. You take a dog for a walk, right? You're showing more love to a dog. They leave the inheritance to their dog. You know, crazy scenarios. So again, know the beauty of our deen. The dogs that the Prophet said to kill were the stray dogs. Not all dogs, like some people may you believe. Audhubillah. The Prophet said the black dog is a shaitan. Pitch black. And what do you notice? Those that maul the children kill are the black dogs. Right? So no, the Prophet is telling you the harm of these creatures. Same with the pig. People say pigs are filthy things. Yeah, they are. But Allah has created them. Why? They're nature's hoovers. Yeah, you know, these bin men will have a beautiful time if you let the pigs loose. Bring them down to Oakley Road. You know, they'll sort it out. You know, within a day, you'll see a reflection in the pavement. MashaAllah. Right? Nature's hoovers. What do they do? We'll eat them. You don't eat nature's hoovers. Astaghfirullah. Isa alayhi salatu wasalam saw a pig in Imam Malik's Muwatta. He goes, go in peace. Why is that hadith very interesting? Because people always narrate the other hadith. He's going to kill the pigs when he comes. He's going to kill the pigs. He will kill the swine. Correct. What does that mean? He's going to go around pigsties. Rasulullah, killing pigs. It says that, doesn't it? No, it doesn't say that. It says that people will become Muslim. They'll stop eating pigs. That's what it means. The pigs will be left to do what they need to do. Doesn't mean they go around killing pigs. You know, imagine, astaghfirullah, what are you making a Rasulullah do? What's he doing now? He's gone to a pigsty to kill pigs. Why don't you do it, astaghfirullah? So note here, the dog did not enter whose chamber? Rasulullah's. Think about that. Then what if you got a picture of a dog? That's another problem, isn't it? Astaghfirullah. Right? In another report, in her chamber, look at these lessons we're learning, what's happening in Maymuna's chamber, radiyallah. In Ibn Sa'd in his Tabaqat, volume 8, page 97 of the English translation, in the chapter on the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam once left one night, and in a state of jealousy, I locked the door after him. So imagine, middle of the night, the Prophet gets up, leaves the chamber. Maymuna gets jealous. She puts the latch on. Rasulullah returned sallallahu alaihi wasallam and tried to open the door, but I refused to open it for him. He thereupon said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I swear that you will now open it for me. I replied, you've gone to your other wives on my night. Rasulullah replied, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I certainly did not. Rather, I left in haste due to my urge to urinate. Open the door. Right, and then she opened. So let's look at this. So where's this record? In Ibn Sa'd in his Tabaqat. So look, she was the last wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They all loved him too much. And they had that natural possessiveness. They wanted him to be with them all the time. So if it was a night, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would go to all his wives after Asr. He would meet all his wives every day after Asr. But on the designated night, he'd go to the wife whose turn it was. That was the sunnah. So it's the turn of Maymun. Middle of the night, imagine, the Prophet didn't want to disturb her. He just gets from, you know, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She gets jealous. Imagine, Rasulullah's going back. And then what did she say? You went to another wife on my night. Now look how interesting. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I swear that you will now open it for me. And he said, I left due to my urge to urinate. It was my urge to urinate. This is why I left. So what does this tell you? Subhanallah, how intense was the love of our beloved mothers for their truly unparalleled and majestic husband. Think about that. This is his last wife. You think that she's going to have the, you know, maybe the least. You get the impression that she's been married to the Prophet for 20 years. Imagine straight away. Wait, why have you gone to another wife? And the Prophet didn't say, you know, you shouldn't be thinking this way. That's what we say. You got a dirty mind, right? Astaghfirullah, right? The Prophet, why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in Fath al-Bari Hasan, the jealous woman cannot tell the top from the bottom of a valley or a mountain. This is hadith. So if you go to a jealous woman, point to the top of the mountain, she'll say, it's the bottom. Right? You point to the bottom because it's top. And she's not lying. She's in a state where she's not thinking straight. The Prophet said, that's their nature, they like that. The jealous woman can't tell the difference. So when she said to the Prophet, our mother, you go to another wife, the Prophet didn't say, produce your witnesses. Who said that one? Because that's their nature. He just said, I swear you opened the latch. He said, I had an urge to urinate and I've come back. So note how the Prophet's teaching is how to deal with your wives. They have this thing where you be, well, you come back late. And then you go, oh, you're always doing my head in, and you always, that's their nature, no point discussing it. Say, look, you know, this is part of your nature, may Allah ta'ala, but, you know, I just went to get something to eat. Just tell him, you know, nothing to, you know, and he goes, no, you didn't. Well, then that's what you think. You know, subhanAllah. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never said anything to his wives. For example, let me give you another example. Once the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was in Aisha's dwelling. It was Aisha's turn, radiallahu. This is in Nasa'i Sahih Hadith. And Safiya, she brought some food. So she didn't personally send it, but she sent it with a servant in Aisha's dwelling. So Aisha looks at it, radiallahu, and this is what she said. Safiya was an excellent cook. And then she got the plate and she smashed it. Imagine in front of Rasulullah. Then she came around. She goes, Ya Rasulullah, what's the expiation? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, food for food, plate for plate. That's what he said. Food for food, plate for plate. That's the hadith. Then Rasulullah get angry with her. You just disrespected the rizq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You've broken up. Why are you thinking the... Nothing. Why? Because he's told you this is the state they're in. They can't tell the top from the bottom. Right? But where's our, you know, Uzubillah. In Tabarani, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I have great hatred for that person whose eyes have gone red, whose jugular vein comes out, and he's about to strike his wife. Because I hate that person. Think about that. So if you want to know if the Prophet is angry with you and he hates you, that's the state. You're about to strike your wife. Nah, you do that. People tap you on bike. MashaAllah, brother, you following Shariat. What Shariat? I'm Shaitan. I'm following Firon Shariat. The best of houses are those that become alive when the father enters, or the husband. The worst of houses are the ones that the house become alive when they leave. That's a hadith as well. Which one are you? So when you enter the house, do they all go, that's the worst house, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. Or are they so happy? Children running towards you, wife thinking, oh mashallah, thinking, this is the house. How do you get a house like that? Being like Firon. Right? So not put your culture to one side. What's this culture business, right? This is Islam. And the tragedy is, sometimes people say, no, this is Islam. What Islam is that, brother? Village Islam. You know, your village, Grai Islam, astaghfirullah. Chicken karai, right? Another example of her deep love can be gauged from the narration of her nephew, Yazid ibn al-Asam, who relates from her other illustrious nephew, Abdullah ibn Abbas. So I'm only going to mention the report. I'll give you more details, inshallah, tomorrow. In Sahih Muslim, number 1948, Ahmad in his Musnad, number 2684, with a Sahih channel transmission, Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, he said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was with Maymuna, radiallahu anhu. Al-Fadl ibn Abbas, Khalid ibn al-Walid, and another woman was also present. Let's stop in the report. So whose chamber is it? It's Maymuna's chamber, radiallahu anhu. Who's in the chamber? Abdullah ibn Abbas. So how's he related to Maymuna?
Nephew.
Fadl ibn Abbas. Nephew. Khalid ibn Walid.
Nephew.
And another woman. So there's no purda. They can mix freely. A platter was then brought on which there was some bread and lizard meat. When Rasulullah went to take some, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Maymuna radiallahu anha said, Ya Rasulullah, it is lizard meat. He withdrew his hand, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and said, it is meat. I have never eaten, but go ahead and eat. Fadl ibn Abbas, Khalid ibn al-Walid, and the woman ate. Whilst Maymuna said, radiallahu, La aqulu min ta'amin lam ya'qul minhu Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I will not eat food that Rasulullah has not eaten. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I will not eat food that Rasulullah has not eaten. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So let's look at this. So what's the gift somebody sent? Dab. Or dab. It's the mastigar. That's the proper name for it. Mastigar. It's a lizard which grows to be a foot or length longer. So about like this. The length of your forearm. It is somewhat akin to the size of the iguana of South America or the sun lizard. It's very similar to that. Its scientific name is Euromastix. Euromastix. They are not to be confused with the gecko, for which there are specific orders to kill. So people get confused because they're translating hadiths and they've got no right to translate hadiths. The Prophet gave orders to kill geckos. Geckos are those small lizards that go on the walls. You see them a lot in back home, Pakistan. Kill them, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. They're mischievous. This lizard is actually the one that moves, you know, on his feet. It's off the ground. That was given as a gift to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So who ate? Now look how interesting. The names are mentioned. Rasulullah said, you can eat. But I've never ate this. So the Sword of Allah ate. Fadl ibn Abbas ate. And that woman ate. Which two did not eat that meat? Abdullah ibn Abbas and Maymuna. And what did Sayyida Maymuna say? This was her understanding. I will not eat food that Rasulullah has not eaten. What was that teaching you? That's luf. Rasulullah gave an order, you can eat. But they were doing things out of luf. Because how can we eat something which the Prophet has taken his hand off? The others, they acted upon the Shariat. You're allowed to eat it. Out of the two, who did the better deed? And it's the one out of love. Because they're emulating Rasulullah. If they had done anything wrong, Rasulullah would have corrected it. Because no, eat from that meat. He's duty bound. He didn't say anything. His beloved wife said, I can't eat meat what you've not ate. And the Prophet didn't say anything. So this is love. Now what do you notice about Maymuna radiallahu anha? Last mother of the believer. It looks like she's accelerating in her understanding. Because I'm not going to eat anything. You're not eating, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That famous incident, where did it take place? Think about it. In the chamber of Maymuna. All these incidents I'm talking about, same place. Think about these narrations. How sacred was their chamber? Look at the lessons Allah Ta'ala is imbibing, teaching us from the chamber of Sayyidina Maymuna radiallahu anha. And also, if you don't know the family members, this hadith will completely baffle you. Khalid bin Walid in the chamber. He doesn't realize it's the nephew. Fadl ibn Abbas, they all doing there. And the response is, they're all nephews. You know, they're all related to Sayyidina Maymuna. And they would love it. Why? Abdullah ibn Abbas, He would wait until Rasulullah was with Maymuna. Then he'd spend the night. Why? Because he doesn't have access. Even though he was a child, he could go to any of the other mothers. He didn't feel, you know, in his heart. He waited for Maymuna. And then what happened? You get beautiful reports. Where did this, where do these narrations take place? In the same chamber. Ibn Abbas said, I was a child. And I was pretending to be asleep. Look how interesting, pretending. Because I was watching Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because Rasulullah gets up, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He recites the last verses of Surah Ali Imran. He makes a very light wudu. And he starts to pray. Tahajjud. And then he says, I join him. But Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he said, I stood to his left. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, during Salat, he goes, he grabbed my ear, he twisted it. And then he goes, he made me go down to the right. So Ibn Abbas goes, you know, from my ear, he pulled me to the right. And I stood to the right. And then he said, he offered a very light prayer. And he didn't say anything. The Prophet didn't say after the Salat, why did you stand on the left? You know, you should know by now that, you know, you stand on the right. And why was it a light prayer? Because he did it for his cousin. He kept it very short. And then once Ibn Abbas in the same chamber, the Prophet gets up and the wudu water is there. And he says, and he asked Maymuna, who's brought this water? He goes, oh, your nephew, Abdullah Ibn Abbas. Oh, my nephew, sorry. And your cousin. He made a dua. And what dua did the Prophet make for Ibn Abbas? He goes, oh my Lord, make him a faqih. Give him understanding of the Quran. And you don't turn a page of tafsir and whose name comes across? Abdullah Ibn Abbas. Abdullah Ibn Abbas. And this is when he was a child. Where were those incidents taking place? Maymuna's chamber. Right? Look how intimate she was to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Ibn Abbas loved that chamber too much. He would go there often, as if he had the access to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But then on other occasions, some sahaba, they didn't alert the Prophet. He offered tahajjud. And I think this must have been in the masjid. And Hudhayfa prayed behind him, joined. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Sahih Muslim, Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu said, he starts reading Surah Baqarah in the first rakat. Alif Lam Mim. So when you hear that, you think, you can imagine any. So he read Surah Baqarah, Hudhayfa said, I thought he's not going to ruku. Then he started reading Surah Ali Imran, not the 1.5 supari. Then he thought, oh, he's going to go into ruku. He starts reading Surah Nisa. Then he started reading Surah Maida. And then he goes, he went into ruku. And then Hudhayfa goes, Subhanallah, he spent the same time in ruku. So imagine somebody goes to Baqarah, Ali Imran, Nisa, Maida. Come on, brother, go for it. Right? He goes, what do you mean, go for it? Even if he's reading fast, that's going to take a couple of hours. He goes, right, now go into ruku and stay a couple of hours in ruku. What are you talking about? This is the Rasulullah's tahajjud. And anyway, what happened? Hudhayfa goes, I managed to finish. But my bike has been injured. He goes, he always had backache for the rest of his life. Because, and the Prophet goes, why didn't you alert me? You should have alerted me. So for Ibn Abbas, imagine, la weedu tajid. Kul ya yo kafu rukulu la wakad. Ibn Abbas goes, very light, mashallah, very light. He's his, you know, cousin. Hudhayfa gets the full treatment. Abdullah Ibn Masud to finish in Sahih Bukhari. He goes, once I prayed behind Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and a bad thought went through my head. Bad thought. So the ta'meet was, astaghfirullah. Bad thought. He goes, what was the bad thought? He goes, I thought of breaking my salat and sitting. Because the Prophet wasn't going into ruku. I thought, I've got to break my rak'ah. I can't continue. My back's hurting. This is Rasulullah's tahajjud. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Think about it. And when he offered the fard, he would be easy on the people. Hard on himself, easy on the people. What do? Hard on people. And, you know, quick tajid, like Usain Bolt, isn't it? Tajid, mashallah. So all I mentioned today was a few incidents in the sacred chamber of Sayyidah Maymuna, radiallahu. And again, note the priceless lessons we take when going through the lives of our dear and beloved mothers. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحان ربي الحمد لله سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك واتوب الى من شاء سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون السلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات وواصل الحق وواصل الصبر صدق الله العظيم